Support for KPLU comes from the investment firm of McAdams Wright Reagan, a Baird company, serving individuals, public and private companies, and nonprofits with a mission to enhance the financial security of their clients through analysis, planning, and investments. More at MWRinc.com.
We are so pleased to present pianist Helen Sung live in our studios today, a Texas native who's been a mainstay on the New York scene for years now. She can be found playing with the Mingus Big Band and Mingus Dynasty, and with terrific bands led by drummers T.S. Monk and Terry Lynn Carrington, as well as her own band. Her excellent latest album is called Anthem for a New Day. Please welcome Helen Sung.
Thank you.
Thrilled to have you here today, Helen. What would you like to start with?
I think I will start off with a solo version of my arrangement of, we were talking about him earlier, Chick Corea's really fun tune, Armando's Rumba.
Excellent. A little Chick Corea from Helen Sung.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Helen Sung, solo and live in our studios here at KPLU. Thrilled to have you here, Helen. And like a lot of terrific jazz pianists, you started out playing classical music. Unlike a lot of them, you kept playing classical music through college. What was the point in your young 20s when jazz caught up to you and said, I want some Helen Sung?
Well, it's ironic because I did attend that great high school in Houston where so many of the great young jazz artists on the scene today are from, folks like Robert Glasper, Jamiyah Williams, as we said, Jason Moran, Eric Harlan. I mean, the list goes on. Kendrick Scott. It's really quite remarkable. Walter Smith III. And I was right across the hall from the jazz department. You know, it's a high school. It's not that big, but I never had a single musical interaction. So I guess I really just wasn't ready. I studied with a very strict teacher from the Russian school. And, you know, as a person of, you know, Chinese American heritage, you know, you're taught to revere your teachers. Everything they say is right. And I was pretty dutiful, although I did have my moments of rebellion where I, you know, listen to Michael Jackson or Madonna with my friends, which she never approved of. So it wasn't until I was almost done with my undergraduate degree at the University of Texas at Austin. And a friend of mine said, let's go hear Harry Connick Jr. He's in town. And, you know, I was a typical classical major. I practiced all the time. I did not know what was going on except for what was going on with Bach and Beethoven and dead guys. Oh, you know, fabulous. You know, great, of course, that great canon of music, which I have so much respect for. So I said, well, I don't know who he is. And she said, don't worry. He's very cute. You'll like him. And so we went, and we had a good time. He had his big band, and I really enjoyed it, his singing. But in the middle of the concert, he just sat down and played some solo piano pieces. And I remember sitting there thinking, how come no one told me about this? You know, he was playing this music that had such verve, such life. The rhythm was just, it just made me feel like I wanted to jump out of my skin, you know. And I just left that concert thinking, my goodness, I have to find out more about this music. And it wasn't like, da-da, now I'm a jazz pianist. Not by any means, because I, you know, I was so, had been so heavy into the classical thing for so long. I thought, well, this will be something that I just want to know more about on the side. But, you know, as providence would have it, you know, as the more I found out about it, it was just, I came to realize what a huge world this music was and how weighty and full of depth, such majesty, and the swing feel, which is unique to jazz. You know, I remember thinking, and not even really knowing that much, I said, I really want to be able to authentically play this music, not just get by because I had the chops to, you know, this music deserves that kind of respect. And little by little, and finally, what sealed the deal was getting accepted into the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz. So here I am today, and I'm so grateful that jazz made room for me.
Yeah. Now, aside from your schoolwork at University of Texas and at the Thelonious Monk Institute, can you compare the lessons you learned in the classroom to what you must have learned on the bandstands playing in New York?
Well, you know, I was very lucky. I think by the time I studied jazz, it was just starting to become very, I don't know what the word is, very regularized or very streamlined as a part of college education. Mm-hmm. It really was in very much in the early stages. And the Monk Institute program, what was unique about it is the folks there recognized that jazz mainly was a craft taught from master to apprentice on the bandstand. There were no college degree programs in jazz. And so they wanted to replicate that as much as possible within a higher institute of education at the New England Conservatory was where it started. And so we only had to take one formal class. I remember it was called Jazz Traditions, and we could take more if we wanted to, but that was all that was required. And the rest of it was just flying in these masters too. So I don't – that's a hard question for me because I feel like I got both at the same time,
right.
Which was exactly what I needed. You know, it was 2 years to just catch up. You know, I feel like I think I'll never lack for motivation because I'll feel like, oh, I've got so much catching up to do. But I remember freaking out on a regular basis because these people were on my CDs and now they're standing right in front of me, you know, working with the students. There were seven of us that formed a jazz septet. And not only would they work with us for like a week, sometimes even 2 weeks at a time, as an ensemble, they would also give us private lessons. And even more importantly, they were so generous with their time that hanging out with them was a big part of it too. And I think very important part of the just understanding jazz, because they made jazz. They created the history of jazz, and listening to their stories, that was just as important as learning how to play that phrase over that certain part of Stella by Starlight or something like that. So I feel so fortunate to have that experience. So, you know, I think in terms of the whole education thing, I really appreciate what Kenny Barron, the great pianist, I was lucky to take some lessons with him while I was a student at the Institute. He said for him, the main difference between classical and jazz is classical, you don't step on the stage until you've perfected it in the practice room. And what has been so hard for me, I'm still not, you know, I feel like I'll always be struggling with this, because as a coming from the classical world, I have such perfectionistic tendencies and just, you know, it's all solo. It's all you. It's all up to you, you know, on the stage. But in jazz, you're working with a group, with people who hear things differently, feel things a little differently, and really playing with people. That's a really heavy, deep, magical, mysterious thing. And he said with jazz, you step on the stage and you perfect it there.
Fantastic. Helen Sung is live in the studios, and she's here with us playing solo this afternoon. What would you like to play for us next?
I think I'll play something, an original piece from the CD. This is called Hope Springs Eternally. Thank you.
Beautiful. Helen Sung with Hope Springs Eternally. That's from her new record, Anthem for a New Day. Helen, I wanted to ask you about the new record, Anthem for a New Day. I think it's your sixth album?
Yes, as a leader.
Yeah. Did you have a concept for the album going in? It's like, I want this album to say this about me?
You know, coming to the music so late, I always felt like I was just drowning, you know, like barely staying head above water. But now I felt like, you know, I'm more comfortable with who I am as a musician and person and where I am in the music and just being more accepting of that too, rather than always like, oh, this, I'm not good enough, you know, self-flagellation and all that stuff. So I wanted it also to be a declaration of sorts to saying, this is me and this is who I am today and where I'm headed, and just be okay with that, I guess.
There are some terrific original compositions on the record. One of which popped into my head when I saw the titles, like, that's like that great beer that's down the road.
Oh, and it is.
I know. And then I find out you wrote the song for the beer, Brother Thelonious. Can you tell us
yes.
about that?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. They are the best people. I guess Fort Bragg is not that far from Seattle.
Not too far, no. And this is a beer culture. So if there's a good beer out there called Brother Thelonious,
and you know, it's such a shame because I'm such a lightweight. I cannot drink worth anything. So I always tell people, I hear it's good. So North Coast Brewing Company, they are based in Fort Bragg, California. And I met them through the Monk Institute, because a few years back, you know, they're all jazz fans, especially Doug Moody. He's like the director of sales and marketing. He's a DJ. He did a long time radio show up there in Mendocino County called Moody's Mood. And when the brewmaster wanted to make a Belgian ale, he always wanted to make his own Belgian ale. So Belgian ales are made traditionally by Trappist monks. So when they were like, what are we going to call this beer? You know, blah, brainwave. Suddenly, well, let's call it Brother Thelonious. And he told me, Doug Moody told me, he just looked on the internet and somehow stumbled across the Monk Institute and literally just called them up and said, look, we want to help support jazz education. That's a beautiful thing about North Coast Brewing. A big part of their mission is they believe they can make art and commerce work together to build up the local community and from there the world. And I just love the way they run their business. And another cool thing, apparently there's, I forgot the name of it, there's some byproduct after making beer, just all this grain that pigs like to eat, and it's a good fertilizer. So they bought a farm like near them where they're growing food for the local community. But I heard the pigs ate too much, so they had to get rid of them. They got too big and they couldn't do whatever they were supposed to do. But just that is such a cool thing, you know, like the dollar is not the bottom line for them, it's people. And, you know, doing their part to contribute from what they've been given. I think that's so beautiful. So anyway, so that he said, we want to donate a portion of the sales to you guys every year. And he said their initial reaction was very skeptical, like, who are you? But so they had but finally they realized he was totally sincere. So they had this launch party on the East Coast, and T.S. Monk, the drummer, who's chairman of the Institute, he played and I played in his band. So that's when I first met Doug. And we just kept in touch through various, events here and there that the Monk Institute held. And one night they were doing some beer tasting at Jazzaline Center. And he asked me to come by. Why don't you just stand with us at the booth and you can talk about your experience at the Monk Institute. And that night he's like, you know, Helen, I want you to write a song for Brother Thelonious. And we actually recorded a version of that for them. But when I made this album, I said, you know what, I play that song better now. And it's a little bit revamped, so let's do it again. And they've been so amazing. They sponsored the CD release tour. And it's really cool because most of the venues we played at serve Brother Thelonious. So it was a really nice tie-in, and thanks for bringing that up, because it does lead off the whole album.
It's a great tune.
Yes.
And a tasty beer as well. Helen, we got time for one more song. What would you like to finish with?
Well, Abe, thank you so much for having me, everyone here in the studio audience. It's just a real privilege to just join the roster of artists that I've performed here. Thank you for what you do. You know, it's so important for independent artists like myself. So this last piece is a killer. That's why I always try to play it. It kills me. It's not on the album. It's on one of my earlier albums. It's by the great James P. Johnson, Carolina Shout.
Ooh, here we go. Helen Sung, live in the studios on KPLU.